Today's shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Samech Ches, and we will begin on Daf Samech Zayin on the base at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amid. The Mishnah now returns to the avoid of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. We had spent the last few dafim describing the avoid of taking the Sar LaZazel to the mountain and the person who was assigned to do that job. And now our Mishnah returns back to the Kohen Gadol. Teaches us the Mishnah, Bola Eitzel, Par, Vesar, and the Srofim. And the Kohen Gadol comes now to the Par that he had brought and the Sar LaShem that were to be burnt. And as we will learn, there were really two aspects left to be done with this Par Vesar. One is that the Emrim, the insides of the animal that were burnt on the Mizbeach, had to be removed from the animal. And ultimately, which we will spend time speaking in our shiur today, the rest of the animal, the rest of the par, and the rest of the sawyer were taken outside to be burnt. Current. So the Kohen Gadol opened up these animals for Hotzias and Mireim, and he took out the various parts that are in the animal that have to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Nosnan, the Magus, puts them in a bowl, Viktir al Gam Mizbeach, and they are to be burnt on the Mizbeach. The Megdash David indicates, he says, normally the halach is that Emrin of different Karbonis may not be mixed together. Yet here we find that the emer of the par and the sar are mixed together. So he explains, since as we learned, the dam, the blood of the par and sar were mixed together in order to sprinkle them on the Mizbeach HaPnimi and then to spill the leftovers as on the Yisoid HaMizbeach. So since the blood of these karbonos were mixed together, so too were the emrin of the these two karbonos mixed together. And he took out the column of makloys and he braided them together. Rashi teaches us that they took these two animals, the par v'sar, braided them together, and then put them on poles that were carried by four people, two people at the front of the poles and two people in the back of the poles, and the animal intertwined together in between the two poles. The Rambam learns that the animals were cut into pieces, albeit not into the same size, small pieces that carbon oiler is normally broken down to, but they were somewhat cut into pieces before they were taken out to be burnt. And they were taken out, Labesa Sreifa, to place out to Yerushalayim where they will be burnt. The Pasuk says, Vasoyrif Oysam, the person who burns them, Yechabis Begodav, his tamei, his clothing that he wears is tamei. So ask the Gemara, ask the Mishnah, or Me'emesai Metam Begodav, at what point do the people who carry them become tamei? Mishyetze Chutz L'Chaim Sazara. The Tanakama, the Rabbanan hold, as soon as they leave the Azara, the people carrying it become tamei. Shimon Omer, Mishiyetz Sa'ar Beruben, only when fire takes hold of the greater part of the Amorim, of the limbs, at that point does the person become tummy. Ask the Gemara, it says in our Mishnah, Viktira, that he removed the Amorim, and it seems to say that he immediately burnt the Amorim. Viktira Tzalkadaitach. Ask the Gemara, is that possible? As we will learn, the Kohen Gadol first had to read from the Sefer Torah, and then he went and changed to Bigdei Zohav, and he brought Eloi the El Ha'am. Then he changed back into white, into the Bigdei Lovin, to take out the Kaf Umachta from the Kodesh Kedoshim, and only then did he again do Tefillah and Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, put on the Bigdei Zov, and only at that point did he offer these Amorim, and he also then brought the Karbonei Musaf and the Tomid Shaben Habayim. So from our Mishnah, it seems that they burnt the Amorim at this point It's not true. It was burnt much later in the day. Says the Gemara, Ela Eima, the purpose wasn't to burn them now. The purpose was, Laktir and Al-Gabim Mizbeach, that eventually they would be burnt in the Mizbeach, but not quite now. Tosfos has a different gears in the Gemara. Tosfos says that the Gemara's question is that it said in our Mishnah that the Amarin were placed in bowls. And the Gemara's question is, are Amarin placed in bowls? Are they burnt in the bowl? Aren't they burnt directly on the Mizbeach? And the Gemara answers, of course they weren't burnt in the bowls. They were just left in the bowls until the time when they will be eventually burnt directly on the Mizbeach. And the Mishnah continued saying, Kolam b'maklis, that the animals were braided together on these sticks. Amr Rav Yochanan, come in clear, like a braid. So the Siach Yitzchak asks, what is Rav Yochanan adding that we didn't learn in the Mishnah? So he answers that if we would have learned only the Mishnah, we might have thought that it's the sticks on which the animals are put that are braided together. Tells us Rabbi Yochanan, it's not the sticks that were braided together, it's the animals that were braided together. Gemara now discusses further how the animal were taken apart when they were being carried to be burnt. Tana, lo yaminaschon nisuach b'asr oilam. They would not cut the par of soyer into small pieces the way a carbon oiler was normally cut into pieces. El or al gabe basar. The skin would remain on the meat when these carbonas were cut into pieces. Ask the Gemara Menani Mili, from where do we know this? The Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa. Rebbe Omer, Nemer Kan, it says regarding the burning of the par v'sor of Yom Kippur, the words on the pasuk are or ubasu uperish. The skin, the hide, the meat, and the waste. V'nemela halon, and the Torah says regarding the par of the kohen gadol, which is a carbon chattis that the Torah tells a kohen gadol to bring if he chas v'shalom does an aveira. The Torah, in describing that carbon, also says or ubasur uperish. Says the Gemara, mala halon. Just like by the kohen gadol, by the power of the kohen gadol, aydei netuach, they were cut into pieces. However, v'loyidei hefshet, the skin was not removed from the meat. Af kan, aydei netuach, v'loyidei hefshet. It's only cut into pieces, but not skin, stripped. Ask the Gemara, v'hosam inolam, and from where do we know that by the power of the gadol, by the power of the kohen gadol, the skin was not removed from the meat, because the pasuk says v'kirboi upirshoi v'hoitzi. The pasuk uses these words regarding the par kohen gadol. Melamed teaches us the pasuk yitshemetziyoi sholim. It should be removed when it's still whole. So when the animal is taken mechutz lamachna, then it should be taken out in whole. Because if it was already cut into pieces, it would not be able to do v'hoitzi, one act of removal. Yochel Yisrofen HaSholim, we would say just like as it was carried out whole, it should be burnt whole. Nemekan, it says here, Roshoy Ukrov, v'nemela halon, by the carbon oila, the Torah uses the word Roshoy Ukroyim, Malahalan, just like by every carbon oiler, alinei de tuach, the pieces of the animals cut into pieces before being burnt, afkan, so too by the par kohen gadol, alinei de tuach, it should be cut into pieces. So ask the Gemara, if we're learning the halachas of the par kohen gadol from carbon oiler, we should go further and say, Malahalan alinei hefshet, just like over there, by the carbon oiler, the skin is removed from the meat. Afkan aydei hefshet. So too, by the par kohen gadol, we should say that the skin is removed from the meat. Tamaloimer, that's why the pasuk says, as we learned before, ukirber upershay, that the insides and the waist. My Talmudah, how do we learn that from that pasuk that the skin is not removed from the meat? Omra Papa, Shem Shapir Shabikirbay, certainly the waste remains inside the animal, because it would be very disrespectful to take out the waste and burn it separately. Kach Basarba Ayrai, so too the meat should remain within the skin. So since we learned by the Parakon Gadol that the meat remains on the skin remains on the meat, and we have Gzeirah Shavah that the Pasuk uses the same words by the Par Vesor of Yom Kippur, that's how we know that the hide remains attached to the meat when it's being burnt. So we learned in the Mishnah, Me'emesayim Tam Begodim, that the Pasuk had taught us that the Pasuk says, Vasoyrif Oysom Yechabes Begodov, the person who burns the carbon has to wash his clothing, he becomes Tamei. And the question was, at what point does he become Tamei? Tanakama says, as soon as he leaves the Azara. Shimon said, when the fire catches hold on most of the Aver. Tan Rabbanan. So Rabbanan bring a basis for their psak. The Pasuk says, regarding the Par Yom Kippur, the Soyer, Yoitzi Amuchutz Lamachna, they should be taken out to Chutz Lamachna, the Sarfai, and be burnt there. Lahalan Atunoisin, Sholosh Machnas, regarding the Par of the Kohen Gadol, the Par when the Kohen Gadol has to bring a Korban Chatas, which we just discussed, that the halacha is that Noisin Lahem Sholosh Machnas, that they have to be taken out Chutz Lasholosh Machnas, the Sholosh Machnas being the Machnas Shechina, which would be the Beis HaMikdash and the Azara, the Mishkan and the Azara, the Machna Leviya, which would be the place where the Kahanim and the Leviim lived, which would be the Har Abayis, and the Machna Yisrael, which is the rest of where they lived, which would be Yerushalayim. So just like the Par Kohen Gadol was removed, Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas, so too the Par Yom Kippur and the Sor and the Sor Lashem should be taken out to all. No, we have to read the Gemara like this. Over there, they have to be taken out to all three Machnas. And we just finished comparing the Par of Yom Kippur and the Sor of Yom Kippur to the Par of the Kohen Gadol. So if the Torah says that the Par of Yom Kippur is taken out, we obviously know it should be taken out Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas, all three Machnas. Why does the Torah have to teach us and add the words regarding the Par V'Sor of Yom Kippur Yoitzi M'Chutz L'Machna Im Kein Lama Nem M'Chutz L'Machna? Why does the Torah have to say M'Chutz L'Machna Loimeloch, to teach us that as soon as it goes outside of the Azara, Matam Begodim, the person carrying it becomes Tamei. Ask the Gemara of Ahasim and Nolan, from where do we know? We're saying that the Par of Yom Kippur and the Sar of Yom Kippur were taken out Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas because the Torah compares these two Kabbanas to the Par Kohen Gadol. And the Par Kohen Gadol, the Gemara is saying, was certainly taken out of Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas. Ask the Gemara of Ahasim and Nolan, and from where do we know that the Par of the Kohen Gadol was taken out of Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas? The Tanya, because it says in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, regarding the Par of the Kohen Gadol, V'hoitzi is kol ha-par, Chutz L'Machna. The Par should be taken out of Chutz L'Machna. Chutz, so the Braisa says, Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas. It should be taken out outside of all Sholosh Machnas. Ask the Braisa, at the Oymer Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas, does it mean that it should be taken out of all three Machnas? Or Eina Ela Chutz L'Machnas? Perhaps it was only taken out of one Machna, because the Pasuk only says M'Chutz L'Machna. So I'll say it only means one Machna. Kusha Oymer Par Eida, when the Torah speaks about the Par, when the Tzibur does an Aveira, M'chutz L'machna. The Torah there too says that it should be taken out M'chutz L'machna. She'ain tamad loimer, which is really superfluous. She'ek fa'nemar, because the Torah already said v'sarof oisai, that the par of the tzibur should be treated kasha sarof as par harishon, like the par of the kohen gadol. So if we know that the par of the kohen gadol is removed, we automatically know that the par of the tzibur is removed. Ma talmud loymel mechutz lemachna. Why does the Torah have to repeat that the par of the tzibur is removed el mechutz lemachna? To say that it's not only taken out mechutz lemachna, one machna, but a second machna. And then the Torah says further, uksha'oyme mechutz lemachna b'deshim, when the ash on the mizbeach accumulated to a very large pile, it was removed mechutz lemachna. She'ein tamer loymer. There's no need for the Torah saying mechutz lemachna. Shrei kfa nemar, because the Torah already said El Shefach Hadeshin, that the power of Kohen Gadol is burnt in the place where the ashes are burnt. And we know that the Pasuk already said that the power of the Kohen Gadol was taken a Mechutz L'machna. So it's obvious that the Shefach Hadeshin is Mechutz L'machna. Why does the Torah have to again repeat the words of Mechutz L'machna regarding that the ash should be taken Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas? Ten Lay Machna Shlishis, to teach us that the power of the Kohen Gadol, and by extension the power of the Tzibur, and by extension the Deshin of the Mizbeach, were all taken on Shechutz Mishalosh Machnas. And now that we compare the power of the Sor of Yom Kippur, that they too are taken Michutz, that they too have the same din, so it's obvious that they were taken Michutz to Shalosh Machnas. What does the Torah have to say of Mechutz L'machna? Tell us, the Rabbanan, to teach us that as soon as it's removed Mechutz L'machna, the person who's carrying it becomes Tamei. As Tosfos, we've mentioned that there is a klal by Kotshim, Dover Halomi Behekish, something we learn with a Hekish, Eina Choyze Melamed. So we learned these halachas with a Hekish, so how could we have a double Hekish? So Tosfos answers that the limud of Par Vesar of Yom Kippur that we're learning from the Par Koyim Mashiach is not learned through a Hekish, through which we would have a question that we have here, a double Hekish. Rather, says Tosfos, it's learned with Gzeirah Shavah. And Gzeirah Shavah, by Gzeirah Shavah, there is this rule of a double Gzeirah Shavah doesn't apply. However, we learned in our Mishnah that Rav Shimon disagrees with the Rabbanan. Rav Shimon say that it only becomes, the person only becomes Tameh when the fire burns most of the Aver, most of the limbs. But we have, as we just finished explaining, the words Mechutz L'machna by the Par V'sar of Yom Kippur that are superfluous. Ask the Gemara, according to Rav Shimon, Hai Mechutz L'machna, what will he do with these words, my Avodlei, what will he do with these words? Answers the Gemara, Mibay Leil Chetanya. He needs it for what was learnt in the following Brice. Rav Elazar Omer, Namekam Mechutz L'machna. It says regarding the Par V'sar of Yom Kippur Mechutz L'machna, Menem L'Halon, and it says regarding the Shechita of the Par Aduma Mechutz L'machna. So we learn Ma Kan Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas, just like the Yom Kippur Karbonos were taken out Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas, Af L'Halon, so too should the Par Aduma be slaughtered Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas. But now we go the other way. Ma L'Halon is Mizrachah Yerushalayim. The Par Aduma was slaughtered to the east of Yerushalayim, as the Pasuk says, Noichach Pnei El Moed, should be facing the entrance, so that means it should be to the east. Afkan b'mizrach Yerushalayim, here too it should be to the east. Ask the Tosfos that the halacha that the Parah Aduma is burned to the east is not explicit. We learn it from a Hekish from the Hazor, that the Pasuk we just quoted of Noichach Pnei El Moed speaks about the Hazor, and we say just like the Hazor was done to the east, so too the Shechita of the Par Aduma should be done to the east. But now we're taking that a step further and saying that the Par V'sar of Yom Kippur should be taken to the east. Wouldn't that again be an issue of a double Hekish? Answers Tosfos that the Par Aduma is not considered a Dover Kodshim. The Parag Adumim is considered chol. It's chulin. It's not considered kachim. When is there a rule, says Tosfos, that we don't learn a double hekesh? When we're talking about kachim. Here, since the subject which is teaching is the Parag Adumim, which is not considered kachim, there is no rule that there's a problem with a double hekesh. Rabbonim. According to Rabbonim, that the pasuk of Machutz L'Machna is not superfluous, because it was used to teach us that the Soref Oisoi, the person burning the power of Yom Kippur, becomes Tami as soon as he leaves the Azara. So we don't have a source and a place to teach us where it should be burned. So where was the power of the Soref of Yom Kippur burned? Heichi Soreflu, where were they burned? Answers the Gemara Ketanya. As we learned in the Brisa, Heichen Nisrofen, where were they burnt? Litzfoine Yerushalayim, to the north side of Yerushalayim. As Rashi explains, since Karbona Chatas are slaughtered and are offered on the north side, so too should their burning be on the north side. And as we learned before, this was done Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Abes Hadesh Nisrofen. Rabbi Yossi says that the place that they were burnt is where they would pour the ash, the extra accumulated ash from the Mizbeach. There's a machloikis if Reb Yossi agrees with the Tanna Kamma, and he's just saying it should be burnt on the north side, we're on the north side, by the Beis Hadeshin, or others say that Reb Yossi is arguing the Tanna Kamma, that the Tanna, the Reb Shimon said it's burnt on the east side. The Tanna Kamma said it's burnt on the north side. Says Reb Yossi, it doesn't have to be burnt at any specific side, it has to be burnt where there is deshen. And Reb Ariele Malin explains that these two machloikas are really connected. The Tanna Kamma holds that there's a specific place where the par should be burnt. Where is that? On the Mokum Shafach HaDeshen. But as we will understand, the Tanna Kamma will not say that there has to be any ash. Because according to the Tanna Kamma, it's not the ash that counts, it's the place that counts. According to Reb Yossi, it's not the place that counts, it's the ash that counts. Because according to Reb Yossi, there has to be ash. Because Amar Rava, Man Tana the Palag of Reb Yossi, and holds that there doesn't have to be ash, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, the Tanya Shafak Adeshin Yisarev, in the place where there's ash, shehei l'sham deshen. There has to be ash deposited there in advance in order that they should be able to burn the parvasar of Yom Kippur. The Brisker Rav says that even though there has to be ash there, there doesn't have to be any specific ash. As long as there's ash in that place, it's a place that's acceptable according to Rabbi Yossi to be burning. However, other achroinim bring rayas that it has to be ash specifically for the Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar Omer, B'Yakov Omer, that the Pasuk of Hashefach HaDeshen doesn't come to teach us that there has to be ash in the place where the where these karbonos are burnt. It has to be Mokoymei Meshupach. It has to be a place fit for pouring. It should be a slanty surface. That's what Shefach HaDeshen means, where it could slide. Perhaps the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov only argue whether it has to be a place fit for pouring. However, everybody perhaps would agree that there has to be ash over there. Says the Braisa, Tanna Rabbanan v'Asayrif, the one who burns will become Tameh. Hasayrif metam begadim, the one that burns the karbonos becomes tamei v'loy ha-meitzis as-a'or, and not the one who puts on the fire, v'loy ha-mesadis ha-merocha, nor the one who arranges the wood on the fire. So the Sfas Emes, based on this Gemara, says a chiddush. He says, even though we learned in the Mishnah and spent a while in the Gemara explaining that the Rabbanan hold that as soon as the ash is removed from the azara, the person becomes tamei. He says that person doesn't become Tamei unless he ultimately is the one that burns these karbonos. He says, let's say there'll be a situation where someone carries the power of the soil outside the Azara, but he isn't the one that ultimately burns it. even though he was the one that carried it, Chutz Lazara. And even though we learned in the Gemara that the Pasuk of Amchutz L'machna teaches us that when the carbon is taken Chutz Lazara, the person becomes Tamei, it's only if he is the one that ultimately burns the carbon. As the carbon odor. Here it says that the person putting on the fire, not the person putting on the fire, nor the person putting on the wood, is the one that becomes Tamei. As the carbon odor, shouldn't have it said in the reverse order, because isn't the wood put on before the fire? So the Siach Yitzchak answers that when the Braisa here speaks about the person putting on the wood, he doesn't only refer to putting on the wood. He also refers to the person that puts the limbs on the wood. And that also, that could well be after the fire is lit. And the Braisa is teaching us that the person that makes the fire, the person that puts on the wood, the person that even puts on the limbs is not Tomei, Vezizu Asayrif, who is considered the one that burns, who becomes Tamei, Zem Sai B'Shasas Reifa, the one that actually is involved in burning these animals. Yochel Af Mishinasa Eifer, that one would think that even after they become ash, the still halacha applies that the person burning it, B'Tam B'Godim, still is Tamei, Tamaloyma Oysom. Oysom B'Tam B'Godim, it's the animal, the carcasses, that cause tuma, v'loy mishanasa eif metam begodim, not when they become ash. Rav Elazar b'Shemen Omer, hapar metame, the bull, the sore, cause tuma, nitach habosar, once the meat decomposes, eni metam begodim, and no longer is metam begodim. My benayu, what's the practical difference between these two psokim? Says the Gemara, ik benayu tishav yecharucha, in a case where it was charred, but not altogether ashes. According to Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon, once it's charred, it's decomposed, and no longer gives off tumah. According to the Tanna Kamma, until it's actually ashes, it could still cause tumah. The Mishnah continues, and speaking about the Avoida on Yom Kippur. Omalei l'Kohen Gadol, they told the Kohen Gadol, Higia Sar l'Midbar, that the Sar reached the Midbar, because the Kohen Gadol was not allowed to perform the next phase of the Avoda until the Azazel actually reached the Midbar. And there are a few pshatim in why. The Sfas Emes says that the Pasuk, that it would be, says that it would be hypocritical for the Kohen Gadol to read from the Torah, as we will learn in the next Mishnah, Mitzvashem, which speaks about sending the goat to the Midbar before it was actually done. So he had to wait till the goat actually arrived to the Midbar, and then he could read from the Torah. That's why he had to wait. The Mishnah Yavetz, Rav Sal Zsolti, has a very interesting psak. He says that the Gemara and the next parak teaches us that when the person who took out the Sar Lazozel returned from the Midbar, and he would meet the Kohen Gadol, he would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master Kohen Gadol, Asisi Shlichusecha, I fulfilled your shlichus. So what do we see? That it's really the job of the Kohen Gadol to carry out the Sar Lazozel. He appoints a shliach. He appoints a messenger. So certainly inappropriate that until the job that he's really obligated to do gets done, that he should get on with the next avoda. The Briska Rav, in the name of Rav Chaim Briska, has a different approach. He says that there's a din in all avoidas in not only on Yom Kippur, that one avoida should not be done until the previous one is completed. So that's why the Kohen Gadol had to wait until the avoida of the Sar being taken to the Azazel be completed, and only then can he continue with the next avoida. Says the Mishnah, Omnayin hayoyodim shegiya Sar l'midbar, how did they know that the Sar arrived in Midbar? Says the Mishnah, Dekoyis hayoyosin, they set up watchmen, or menifim besodrim, who would weigh with flags, for yoyd and shigiyah saw the midbar. And that's how they would know that the Sar arrived in the midbar. Amr Yehuda, v'lai simon god la'yilhem, that a very dependable sign. Mishlaim v'beis cheduda, shlosh milim. From Mishlaim to where the goat has to go is 3 milim. Holchemil, as we explained in the previous year, the people in the Azara could walk a mil along with the person going with the Sar Lazazel, because that's still within the Tchum. Then Chayzer Mil, they can return a mil. Vishoyim Kedei Mil, and they waited the time it takes to walk 1 mil. Most Vishoyim explain that they walked the perimeter of the Beis HaMikdash, which was the area of a mil. And Vyoydin Shagir Sola Midbar, and they, at that point they knew that the Sar arrived to the Midbar. There's a very interesting mitziv. We are used to learning throughout Shas that they didn't have watches and clocks in the time of the Mishnah. So when they wanted to understand something, when they wanted to measure time, they couldn't rely on a watch or a clock. The Netziv seems to learn that they already had watches and clocks then. So then he asks, if so, we know that the amount of time it takes to walk a mil is 18 minutes. So if they had to wait the time it takes to walk 3 mil, so 3 times 18 is 54 minutes. Why did they have to go through any other measure, types of measure? So Netziv explains that although normally it takes 18 minutes to walk a mil, it was Yom Kippur, and they were fasting, and they were weak, so it might have taken them longer. So they can't rely on the 18-minute measure. They had to do this walking. Maybe Shmuel Omer, for a siman achar hayolam. They had a different siman. Loshin sahayrus hayukash al pisa shalchechel. They had a strip of red wool on the door of the Beis HaMikdash. Kishgiya saw the midbar, when the saw arrived in the midbar, hayaloshin malbim, and would turn white. Shenema amiyu chatechechem kishanim kishal yabin. The Bach takes Rabbi Shmuel out from this Mishnah. He says, actually what Rabbi Shmuel says is a braisa, and the explanation that the Tosfos Yontif and the Pharisee Yisrael give is that Rabbi Shmuel was referring to the time where this was a dependable sign, that every year the red thread turned white. But as we have learned earlier, that this wasn't necessarily a dependable siman in later years, for the last 40 years before the Churban, so we can no longer rely on that, and that's why the Mishnah in the beginning had to give different simonim. The Fikei Yam asks that why can't our Mishnah be a proof to a concept which is discussed many times in Halacha, Shlich Oysa Shlichusoy. Here, the Mishnah said that Rabbi Yehuda says we measure the amount of time it took him to walk the 3 mil, and once we measure that amount of time, we know that the job was done. So it's a proof that Shlich Oysa Shlichusoy, that a Shlich could always be relied on to do his Shlichus. So Mfika Yam answers that here we're referring to a Shlich Bezdin. A Shlich Bezdin, then we could certainly rely we'll do a Shlichus. But that isn't necessarily a proof that every Shliach could necessarily be relied upon. Another Teres Tafiki Yam gives that here we're referring to a Shliach who volunteered to do the job. A Shliach who volunteered to do the job will certainly fulfill a Shlichus. But that is not necessarily a proof that a Shliach who was volunteered, but didn't volunteer on his own, will necessarily fulfill his job. Amar Abaya, says Abaya, Shema Mino, from here we see, Beis Chedudei, Midbar Kaimei. The place, the mountain that Rabbi Yehuda refers to, is at the beginning of the Midbar. Because it says, not like we learned yesterday, that he walked 10 mil or 12 mil, it's only 3 mil. The Kamashman, the Kasav Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds Kivin Shagia Sol Midbar. As soon as the Sar arrives in the Midbar, Nas Mitzvasai, it's considered that the mitzvah is complete. But as the Mefarshim explained, certainly Rabbi Yehuda holds that we have to complete the entire Avodah, taking it to the mountain and throwing it down the mountain. But as far as the Avodah, the essential Avodah being completed, that's when it reaches the beginning of the Midbar, and now the Kohen Gadol has the right to continue to the next Avodah. Harim Loch Shnei Seiri, Harim Loch Shnei Seiri, Harim Loch Shnei Seiri. The Mishnah now continues from where we left off in the previous Mishnah. The Kohen Gadol has been informed that the Sar reached the Midbar, and now he will continue with the Avodah. Bala Kohen Gadol Likros. He comes to the Ezra's Noshim to read from the Sefer Torah. And as the Brisker Rav explains, we mentioned this Brisker Rav earlier, he was not allowed to continue to read from the Sefer Torah until the previous avoda of the soyer reaching the midbar was completed. And not only was he allowed, not allowed to begin that avoda, but moreover, says the Brisker Rav, he was not allowed to go into the Ezras Noshim. He was not allowed to leave the Azara until that avoda was completed. And the Tosfos Yeshanim says, why was the Kriya done only at this point of the day? So he says, since at this point most of the avoda of Yom Kippurim has been completed, that's the appropriate time to start reading for the Sefer Torah. Another pshat that Rabbi Yonah Simnuel says, since, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, the Kriya of the Sefer Torah, the Kriya was done when the Sar reached the Midbar, but there was still quite a while till the Sar would be thrown down the mountain. So therefore, we don't want to have two full-fledged avoidas taking place simultaneously. As we will learn, the Kriya of the Sefer Torah is not considered a full-fledged avoida, so that was done at the same time while the avoida of the Sar La'Azazel was completed. Teaches us the Mishnah. And writes a likros for Bigdei Butz, Kaira. If the Kohen Gadol wants to continue wearing the Bigdei Lavan while he's going to read from the Sefer Torah, he may. Rimlav, but if he doesn't want to, Kaira be'itzlis Lavan Shaloi, he can wear his own white robe. The Mefarshim explained this is the source for our minig that we wear a kittel, a white kittel on Yom Kippur, because we saw that the regular coat, the regular shirt, the regular suit that was worn on Yom Kippur was white. The Mefarshim say, certainly he was not allowed to put on the Bigdei Zohov, his gold begodim, for the Kriya Sefer Torah. And there are two reasons given in the Rishonim. One is because, as we just said, the reading of the Sefer Torah was not a full-fledged avoda. So to wear the Bigdei, to continue wearing the Bigdei Lavan, something that he's already wearing, just to continue wearing, he may continue, as we will explain in the Gemara. However, to go put on specifically Bigdei Zohov for an avoida, for something which is not really an avoida, is not permitted. The Beis Halevi gives a different explanation. As we've said a number of times in this Masechta, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh 5 times, did Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim 10 times. And it's very specific, the amount of times he goes to the mikveh and does Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Because really, if would you think about it, it should be us. You're not allowed to wash in Yom Kippur. However, the Torah prescribes that he has to change from Bigdei Lavan to Bigdei Zohov, from Bigdei Zohov to Bigdei Lavan, and every time he changes, he has to go to the mikveh and he has to have Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. If he would put on the Bigdei Zohov for reading from the Sefer Torah, it would involve him going to the mikveh and having Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim an extra time, which is not permitted. Chazan HaKnesses, there was a shul next to the Beis HaMikdash, and the chazan of that shul, that's the Shamish, Neutel Sefer Torah, would take the Sefer Torah for Neusna L'Rosh HaKnesses and would give it to the head of the shul. So the Rishonim explain that this Mishnah is referring to Beis HaMikdash Sheni. Rabbi Yashiv explains this at length. He says that in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, where there was an Aron, and the Gemara says there was a Sefer Torah next to the Aron, the Sefer Torah that the Kohen Gadol used on Yom Kippur was that Sefer Torah that was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim next to the Aron. It was only in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, where that Sefer Torah was no longer available, they took the Sefer Torah from the shul. Why was there a shul next to the Azara? The Sfasemis asks that whatever they could have done in the shul, they could have done in the Azara. So the Sfasemis says, since the Halacha, as we will learn in the Gemara, is that it's prohibited to sit in the Azara, so if people were tired and they needed to sit, they couldn't remain in the Azara, so they made a shul for those people. Rabbi Yashiv says that sometimes it would be raining, and so the Azara was an open area, so they made a shul where they could sit and daven and learn. Or there were people who were tamei, they were not allowed to come into the Azara, so for them they made a shul. The Chasam Sofer quotes his Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler, that says the reason a shul was built next to the Azara was to teach Klal Yisrael a lesson that there will be a time, our times, where the Beis HaMikdash is charev, it's destroyed. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Klal Yisrael should know that although we unfortunately don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we still have the Beis HaKnesses. Just like there was a Beis HaKnesses next to the Beis HaMikdash, we still have Batei Knessos which have that holiness. So the Shamus, we give it to the Rosh HaKnesses, and the Rosh HaKnesses, we give it, Neustern L'Sgan, we give it to the assistant Kohen Gadol. The Mefarshim ask, what about the Rosh Beis Av? Why wasn't he given the Sefer Torah? So they say that the Rosh HaKnesses was the Rosh Beis Av. V'Sgan Neustern L'Kohen Gadol, the Sgan would give it to Kohen Gadol, for Kohen Gadol, Oymer Mekabel, the Kohen Gadol would get up to receive the Sefer Torah from the Sgan. The Kohen who would read from the Sefer Torah, Akrei Mois, the Parsha of Akrei Mois, and the Parsha of Ach Ba'osr, which all speak about Yom Kippur. The Vigoyloi, and then Vigoyloi Sefer Torah, then he would roll up the Sefer Torah, Umaniach Bechekoi, put it on his lap, on his bosom, to show how special the Sefer Torah is to him. V'oimren, he would announce, Yoisem Mashikurosi Lefneichem Kosvkan, much more than what it says, what I read is mentioned here. Ube'esh Bechodesh Bekudim Pashas Pinchas, which is a Seyde Bamidbar Kair Alpeh, he would read by heart. So the reason he made this announcement, explained the Mefarshim, is that since he's going to be reading from the Sefer Torah, not from inside, people shouldn't come to make an error that there's parts that are not in the Sefer Torah. So he says everything is the Sefer Torah, just I'm not reading it, this part I'm not reading from inside, I'm reading from outside. And the Shvus Yaakov, based on this Mishnah, says an interesting psak. He says, on Shvus, the first day Shvus, we read Akdomis, before we read from the Parashas Hayoyim, from that day's Torah reading. And there's always a question, when should Akdomis be read? Should be read after the person who gets the aliyah makes the bracha, or should it be read and then the person should make the bracha? From here he says we see that one can make the bracha and then say Akdomis, even though one would consider that a hefsik, an interruption. Here too, the Kohen Gadol is in the middle of reading from the Sefer Torah, yet the Mishnah teaches us that he's allowed to make this announcement. Why is he allowed to make this announcement? Because it's the Tzorech HaKriyas, for the purpose of the Kriyas of the Kriya of the Yoyim. The Akdomis is also part of the Kriyas HaYoyim, and that's why he can make the announcement. The question the Rishonim ask is that we know that the Halach is Dvarim Shmiksav Iyat Rishonim Lomer Malpeh. Something that's written in the Torah may not be said by heart. So how could the Torah in Gadol read part of it by heart? So a number of answers are given. One answer given is that the halacha of Dvarim Shebiksav at the Rishayim Lomer Malpeh is only when we're being mitzi someone else. Here he's not being mitzi anyone else. Another answer is given that there is a special dispensation for Kabbonis to be said by Peh. Because the Gemara Masechta Bracha says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that Klal Yisrael should read and say the Kabbonis every day. They don't say it from a Sefer Torah. So we see that they can be said al peh. So Kabbonis have a separate rule. Another answer given is this halacha Dvarim Shebiksav Yat Rishayim Malayim al peh is only l'chatchila. When there's a situation that calls that should be read al peh, it's mutter. Another answer is given that since part of the Kriya was already done miksav, the first part of the Kriya, then the rest may be done al peh. And then the Kohen Gadol makes 8 brachas when he finishes reading. Ala Taira, regarding the Taira of Al Avoida, regarding the Avoida, thanking Hashem for giving us the opportunity to do the Avoida, for Ador, thanking Hashem for all of his goodness, for Mechilas Oven, that he forgives us, for Al Migdash Befneatzmai, a bracha on the base of Migdash, for Yisrael Befneatzmai, a bracha for Klai Yisrael, for Yerushalayim Befneatzmai, for Yerushalayim, Val Kahanim Fnatzah for Kahanim, Val Shat Tefillah for the rest of the Tefillah. Mefarshim ask, if you will count, you will see that there are 9 brachas, not 8. So how does this work? The Mishnah says there were only eight. So there are two approaches. One approach is that there's another thing missing in our Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't speak about the bracha made before the kriya. It only speaks about the bracha made after the kriya. We know when one has an aliyah, he makes a bracha also before he gets an aliyah. So therefore, these mefarshim say that the first bracha that's mentioned here, v'al ha-tayra, which is the bracha v'ashenosan lanu, which is always made after one receives an aliyah, does not have to be, is not counted, because that's a standard bracha, just like the bracha before the kriya is not mentioned, because that's not unique, it's a standard bracha. However, many other mefarshim say that the Kohen Gadol did not make a bracha before he read from the Sefer Torah, because the din that a bracha is made before one reads from the Torah was only said when there's a chayvus tzibur, when the tzibur has an obligation to read. But this is not a chayvus tzibur, it's a chayvus just for the Kohen Gadol, and therefore he doesn't have to read, he doesn't have to make a bracha before. But then we come back to our question, so we have nine brachas, not eight. So they say that we should take out a bracha for Yerushalayim separately, that there was no separate bracha for Yerushalayim. Or, could be said, that the bracha for Yisrael is included with the bracha ala tefillah. Finish, concludes the Mishnah. Haroi Kohen Gadol Shukairu. Somebody who's listening to the Kohen Gadol when he's reading from Torah, Ein Roi Pavasar Nisrafim, cannot see what we discussed at the beginning of the shir, as the Pavasar are being burnt. Haroi Pavasar Nisrafim, Ein Roi Kohen Gadol Shukairu, cannot see the Kohen Gadol as he reads from the Sefer Torah. Explains the Mishnah of Leib Neishtein Rishoy, not because it's not permitted to see both procedures. Al Shahoysa Derech Chayka, there's a distance between them, as we explained earlier in the Shir, they were burned Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas, U'Malach Hashneim Shavakachas, and they were both done at the same time, and a person cannot be in the same place at two times, so they had to choose either see the Parvisar and the Serafim, or hear the Kohen Gadol read from the Sefer Torah.